your plans this fall? What's that? Go ahead and stand up. I told him I wouldn't interview. I wouldn't have him come up front. I didn't say I wouldn't ask him questions. So what are your plans, Gabe? So going to go in the military? What branch of service are you looking at? Going to go in the army. Follow your dad in the army, huh? All right. So he's going to work for a while, and his plan is to go in the army. Shannon, how about you? A veterinary technician? Wow. Sounds awesome. Sounds like a lot of schooling, too. Good for you guys. Yeah. What an exciting time. You know, I remember when I graduated, I didn't have a very big graduating class, and thinking about next year's the 40th reunion of that, and how fast time goes. And as I thought back through and thought, you know, I think of so many opportunities that God presented in my life, and doors that were open or closed by God's intention. And on our youth trip, we went back to the Ark Encounter, and it is a full-scale model of the Ark in terms of its size and the number of floors and things like that. And as you walk up to the Ark, the thing that you can't help but notice is this giant door on the side, you know. And the Bible talks about that door. And I want to just talk a little bit about, use that door as kind of a springboard to talk about some simple things tonight before we go have some fellowship together. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 with me, please. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There's a way that makes sense. There's a way that seems smart. There's a way that seems like the logical, obvious, best way. And the Bible talks about this. He says, there's a way that seems right. It looks like the good way, but what does it say about that in the rest of the verse? But the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, we don't have the ability as people to see what's on the other side of the door. We just don't know, okay? Doors are important in our lives. I don't mean physical doors, but doors of opportunity, doors of choice, doors of decision. And I'm always amazed, and Wayne has more current experience with this than I, but on SWAT, when you're lined up by a door, what do you really know about what's inside, Wayne? Not a whole lot, do you? No. So you have to trust to the training and the tactics and the people you're with, and really to the rightness of your cause as you do that. And there are a lot of choices in life that make sense, that this answer makes sense, but it's not the right answer. And one thing that we find out with God is that the obvious answer isn't always the right answer. And the logical answer isn't necessarily the right answer. And so it's important to consider those things. Some doors look good, but they take us to bad places. And then in Psalm 37, 23 and 24, turn over there with me, please. Just turn back there to Psalm. Psalm 37. We see a contrast in verses 23 and 24. It says here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In other words, God guides his steps. God organizes his path. God points him at the right doors and at the right choices. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, which all of us do, all of us make mistakes, all of us fall short. At one time or another, we even sin on occasion. But all of us certainly fall. He shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, the fall is not catastrophic. It's not ruinous. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Okay, the Lord upholds him with his hand. If you're in here and you're a parent, when your child is little, you ever been walking with them and all of a sudden they trip and they kind of fall, and only the fact that you're holding their hand keeps them from just smacking the ground? That's kind of the picture here. God is making sure that we don't hit too hard, even when we make the mistake. And that's just really encouraging, I think. But the key there is it says the steps of a good man, a good person, a person pursuing godly things are ordered by the Lord. And so I'd like to just look at that ark door tonight and talk about maybe three little things that it represented to me that God laid in my heart as I saw it there and walked through that ark, and talk about some of the lessons maybe that door gives us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the fact that it is you that is complete and sufficient, and that we, Lord, who are the dependent ones. God, I just pray that you'd be with us tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for the accomplishments of Shannon and of Gabe, dear Lord. God, I thank you for bringing them through high school successfully, Lord. There are challenges there that are difficult. There are tasks that are difficult, dear God. There are relationships that can be distracting. And dear Lord, I just pray that you would bless them as they continue on in the calling you've placed in their hearts. Be with us this evening as we spend some time on your word, and then we spend time together in fellowship. In Christ's name, amen. So let's consider the ark. First of all, turn to Genesis chapter 6. I want to say, by the way, that ark encounter experience was really amazing. I mean, when you walk through a vessel that size, you really begin to appreciate the scale of it. I mean, it is immense. As God designed it, it is immense. Now, of course, they don't have a picture of the inside, so they had to take artistic license and would say, this is how it could have been. But just the volume of it with three floors is phenomenal. And we know it was how big it was, roughly, at least from the biblical account. We know that it had three floors and it had a door. So those parts we could kind of look at and go, okay, I can kind of see how this would work. But the first thing I want to point out is in Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Let's look at these. Chapter 6, verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set on the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So we see here that God tells Noah, you're going to build an ark. And here's how long I want it, and here's how wide I want it, and here's how tall I want it. And I want one window this big, and I want a door on the side, and I want three floors on the inside. But I want to point out this fact. The door was God's plan from the beginning. God had always intended for there to be access to the ark. God built the ark with access. And in the very same way that God built the ark with access, God has created a relationship with us that grants access as Christians. We too have a door. It's called Jesus Christ. Access to God. I think it's exciting. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Turn over there with me. I think it's interesting that God, as the perfect designer, knew that when it came time at the end, they had to get in. They had to some way get into the ark, get into the vessel, get into the mechanism of salvation, the mechanism of protection. And God says, I want you to build a door. And he didn't tell them how he's going to close it or how it's going to work. He said, build a door. Just put a door in. Now, I would imagine that as Noah's building this ark over all those years, this thing he'd never built before, that at a certain point, the door became really important in the process. That when the hull was finished on the outside and there was still work to be done, that door became very useful, very important to him. And it was always a sense of encouragement because as he built this thing, God had told him, I want to destroy the world. And as he built this thing, he could have been thinking, I'm sure glad there's a door. I'm glad there's a way in. I'm glad there's a way on this boat. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, meaning Jesus Christ, we have, what's that next word? Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, because of Jesus Christ, because of faith in Jesus Christ, we have a door. We have access to God. And that's so important. I want to just remind you young people that as Christian young people, you have access to God. Many, many Christians, it's possible to live our lives day by day, and even though we have access, we forget about it. We forget about it. And yet God has designed access. That was part of his plan for redemption. He says, well, you have access. What did he say to us over in Hebrews? Seeing then that we have this great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What's the next verse? Let us, therefore, do what? Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Access, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, God has designed redemption to include access. We have access to God. Young people, you can go to the Lord in prayer anywhere, anytime, about anything. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. This is the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have God designed access. Aren't you glad he did? Aren't you glad that when he says pray without ceasing, that literally we can? That you can be driving in your car and praying. You can be sitting at your desk and praying. You can be flying on an airplane and praying. You can be laying in bed before you go to sleep and praying. You can be wake up in the morning after the alarm goes off and you've hit the snooze button and you can't quite go back to snoozing, and you can be praying. We can pray anywhere, anytime, in the shower, in the car. It doesn't matter because we have access. God does not have office hours. And that's a beautiful thing. And the more that we realize that, and the more that we appreciate that, the more that we can appreciate the design. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, he says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. God designed that door in the ark, and I'm sure that Noah went in and out of that door many, many times in the course of construction. But it was only there because God said, put it there. Because God planned for access. And he goes on, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Never forget that Jesus Christ is the door, that he has made access possible. And we need to appreciate that. We need to appreciate that. But that was God's plan all along. That was God's plan. God told Adam and Eve that someday Eve's seed would crush Satan's head. That was his plan, access. And just like God told Noah to put a door in the side, God has placed a door for all of us for access to him through Jesus Christ. I think that's really important. The next thing I want to point out, though, is Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Because a door is wonderful. And this is where I think things break down sometimes. In all of our lives, in my life sometimes. Genesis chapter 7, look at verse 11. Actually, go up to verse 1, then we'll jump down to 11. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So God says, come into the ark. Now, how are they going to get in the ark? That door. They're going to go through that door. And then look what it says down here in verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the foundations of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. Having a door is only valuable if we use it. It would have done them no good to have built an ark with a door, but when God said go through it, they wouldn't. And you know what? Sometimes I think that we as Christians don't use the access that God has created. We don't go through the door as often as we should. We take things on ourselves. How many of you have the ability to be anxious? To worry, to fret. When we're fretting and being anxious, what does the Bible say? Be anxious for what? So when we're fretting and being anxious, we're not going through the door. We're not going through the door. Because God has promised us peace that passes understanding. Okay? When we're doing it our own way and being proud, we're not going through the door. When we're not paying attention to God in our lives, we're not going through the door. We really can't ignore God and reap the benefits of access in the same way. It just doesn't work that way. God has given us a Holy Spirit. I'm talking to Christians tonight, I believe, and God has given us a Holy Spirit. Do we listen to him? Do we pay attention? God has given us his word. Do we read it? His word is part of the door, part of understanding who God is, understanding what God wants. God has given us each other, Christian brothers and sisters, to encourage us in the Lord. That's part of this whole... See, God has made provision for us as Christians. He's given us the New Testament church. He's given us teachers and pastors and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, God has made great provision for us. He has put a great door of spiritual opportunity before us to live spiritually victorious lives. But just like Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives had to go in it, we've got to avail ourselves of it. Okay? The Bible does us no good sitting next to us. What does the psalmist say? Thy word have I hid in my bedside drawer. Right? No, thy word have I hid what? In my heart. Why hide it in your heart? That I might not, what? Sin against thee. You see, it becomes the reality of our walk has, we have got to make our, avail ourselves of the things God has given us. It's hard to be a Christ-like person if we're not in his word. How do you know the mind of Christ without studying the word of God? How do you know the character of God without studying the word of God? We can't know it. How do we know what God wants for us in our lives without praying to him and then listening to him and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit? I honestly think that we as Christians struggle more with accessing what God has given us than we do with anything else. We go it on our own. We're fiercely independent at times, and sometimes we're even pretty courageously defiant of the Lord. But God has said, go through the door. Jesus Christ opened the way to the throne of God by his blood, by his death and resurrection on the cross. Do we go through it? Because they had to do that. I want to just look at Psalm 119, 98 through 105. Just as an example. Psalm 119, look at verse 98. And we're just going to, I'd just like to ask you to note how many times some aspect of God's word or commandment or precept or testimony is referred to. Psalm 119, 98. You just count them, how many times you hear. Just kind of keep track, and then we'll see how you did at the end. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto me, to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How much you hear in there? At least eight. What was the bedrock of his hope? What was the bedrock of his stability? The word of God. God, whose character is expressed in his word. You see, access is beautiful, but only if we take the opportunity. Take the opportunity. And I'm glad to say that Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their wives, when God said, go in, they went in. The third thing I want to point out is that that door provided protection. If that door hadn't been there and that God hadn't closed it after they were in, that ark would have sunk. But God took care of that. Look at back in Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, verse 14. It says, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You see, God made sure that they were going to stay safe. That door represented safety and security. It represented actually structural integrity for that boat. Without that door closed, that boat, I mean, because he's taking a lot of things through there. If that door had been shut, that boat would not have floated. And God closed it, okay? And the point I want to make here is that God not only gave access and invited access, but also provided protection through that access. Okay, he made sure they were safe. And sometimes when we're young, and even sometimes when we're old, we can perceive God's expectations to be unreasonable. Maybe a little bit unnecessary. And yet there's nothing about God that's unnecessary. There's nothing about God that's unreasonable. And I think back to when I was younger, I remember that some of the things that my dad, especially, but my dad and my dad especially, cautioned me about, I thought the caution was more aggressive than was warranted. Seems like you're just being a little unreasonable. But as I look back now, I realize that his caution was very wise and warranted, and that he was protecting me from things. He was trying to make sure things that I shouldn't do, I didn't do. For he understood well the dangers. And God understands well the dangers. And God represents protection and provision. When we walk in his way and we do his will, we find ourselves protected. Look at Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph maintained his godly character, and he walked through all kinds of terrible circumstances, but he was protected. And literally, God used him and his obedience as a mechanism to bring to Egypt and preserve the nation of Israel, Jacob and his sons. And this is remarkable to me, how God grew his promised people by embedding them inside of a nation while they grew, and then ultimately brought them out into the promised land. God has a plan, and that plan includes taking care of us. I want to just read a passage from David. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. It's just, I think, a great example. It's kind of a long one, but I want to just ask you again to pay attention to all the different things that David sees God as. All the different types of protection and security that he sees in the Lord. 2 Samuel 22, we're going to be in with verse 1. I'm going to actually read 20 verses because I had to stop there just because of time, but it goes on. But just, again, pay attention to all the different things that David sees God as providing in terms of protection and security. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So this is what David said. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. In other words, it says, I will go through that door of access. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. And my cry did enter into his ears. Okay, so this through verse 7 is, David says, I was in some bad situations, and I called out to God. He says, God to me was my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my tower, my salvation, my refuge. And I found myself in hard spots. Young people, you're going to find yourself in hard spots. Isn't that true, adults? You'll find yourself in hard spots with difficult decisions, sometimes with no clear answer. They're not morally right or wrong. They're just hard decisions. And David says he was in that spot and he called out to God. Now, I want to take a look at how he perceived God's response. This is amazing. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth, referring to God. There went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place, a safe place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. That is a rescue. David describes this rescue as, I was in a bad spot and I called out to God and all heaven broke loose. I mean, it was cataclysmic. It was epic. It was amazing how God came and rescued me. How God reached down and he made everything different and put me in a good spot. You see, God, access to God yields protection. That is phenomenal, that response. But you know what? God's response to our needs, to our shortcomings, to our cry for help is no less amazing. No less amazing. And we have a whole Bible full of people that called out to God and God took care of them. And I want to just remind us that God has made provision for access through his Son. God has invited us to come before his throne. And that access and that obedience also brings with it God's provision and God's protection. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let's go over there. We'll close with this. I was thinking of different things in the Bible. How about Elijah on Mount Carmel? Did God show up big? How about Daniel in the lion's den? How about Joseph in prison? I mean, it just goes on and on. How about Paul and Silas in prison? Yeah, all these different places. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 5. Let our conversation be without covetousness. Let our manner of life, let us live lives that are not chasing after things, especially those that belong to others. And be content with such things as we have. For he has said, here's why we should be content. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In other words, God should be enough. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do under me. You see, God does promise to take care of us, to never leave us, nor to forsake us. There's nothing that we should fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And I just was reminded as I looked at that door of that ark that God had a plan from the start to grant us access through his Son, Jesus Christ. But that access is only valuable if we use it. So as young people, and especially to Shannon, you and Gabe tonight, go often to the throne of God. Spend time in prayer. Ask him to lead you and to guide you. And I can just guarantee you this, that when you need help, he will be there. He will be there because he wants to take care of you. You are his children. We are joint heirs with Christ. And that's a beautiful thing. Amen? Aren't you glad that we have a God like that? I'm so glad we do. That we can pray. We can go to him anytime. We can ask him anything. We can ask him silly questions. We can ask him to help us with the things in our lives that we know are silly or difficult. And he does. He's patient with us. I'm glad for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you this evening that you are a merciful God and a loving God and a powerful God. Dear Lord, I thank you for the fact that you have granted access through your Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord, he truly is the door. As he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He describes himself, dear Lord, as the shepherd that guards the fold. And God, that we are his sheep. And I thank you for that. God, I would pray that you'd help us always to remember that the access that Christ has purchased through his death and resurrection is access that we must take advantage of in a good way, that we must spend time with you. We must listen to your Holy Spirit's leading. We must spend time in your word. Let us come before the throne of grace boldly, often, trusting in you. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to realize that we can trust you to protect us, to take care of us, dear God, to bring about your end that you have seen. Lord, I just thank you that we know that we can trust you. Dear God, we know that who we believe, I pray, and that we do believe that you're able to keep that, dear God, which we've committed unto you. I would pray that each one of us would have the peace of that, that we know that what you've begun in us, you will finish, that God someday will be new in you. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you so much for taking care of us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand and turn to 481. 481. We'll sing a stanza or two of "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." I think that's sometimes easier sang than done. 481. Then we'll pray a prayer and we'll be dismissed to go over to the gym and just enjoy some fellowship together.
Sweet are the promises, kind is his word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Stanza 3. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
Amen. Just before we pray, we had the voting closed on the two issues, the calling of Caleb as the assistant pastor and the budget transfer. And both of those, we did have more than enough to meet the threshold for a quorum. So that was met, and both of them passed overwhelmingly. So that's all. They were both at 99%. So praise the Lord for that. So we'll be letting Caleb know that he is going to be coming here if he wants to. And I talked to him on the phone, and he does. Matter of fact, they're leaving Thursday to head this way. Yeah, so they're coming quickly. So anyway, praise God. Thank you for your participation in that as well. So that's exciting. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father God, thank you now for the time we have together as fellowship. Lord, I do just pray that it'd be a special time for Shannon and for Gabe, Lord, that there would be some memories that would be captured in their hearts, dear God, that they would think back on in the years to come and maybe even tell their children, yeah, remember that time we had a fellowship at church after graduation. And God, I just pray that it would be rich and sweet for them and for their parents. And God, for all of us together, thank you for just letting us do things like this, spend time together. Bless the time, I pray. Bless the fellowship and the food. And just give us a good week in you, Lord, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. We are dismissed.